It's a game changer when you've got a boss that you can count on to be there to support you, to have your back. I mean, that gives people a lot of space to grow.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to the show. You're in the right place for a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. And in this episode, you are going to get specific ways to do what I would argue is perhaps your most important job as a leader, which is to invest in your people. You're going to get ways to support professional growth, even of remote and hybrid employees, specific questions you can use to start career conversations, how to balance career development with all your other leadership responsibilities, and so much more. And here to help guide us through these topics, and a returning guest from the show, all the way back to season 10, I had to look this up, season 10, first episode of season 10, is our workplace growth and development guru, Julie Winkle Giuliani. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. Gosh, 10, season 10.
That was a while ago. We're in season 18 now, about halfway through 18.
So. Amazing. Kudos to you for your commitment to making this kind of really important information available to leaders.
Well, thank you. I love it. And, you know, and I'm so glad to have you back because, Julie, I always learn so much from you. So this episode, if for folks who, you know, subscribe and listen in real time, this episode is going to come out Thursday, Friday before Thanksgiving in the United States. And so I was thinking about that in terms of timing and everything and said, and I am so grateful for you because you really do have so much expertise in this area and you're so good at sharing it. And so I know that we're going to learn a lot today. But for anybody who didn't listen somehow, you know, somebody who's joined the show since after season 10, you got to know a little bit about Julie. So throughout her career, Julie's championed workplace growth and development. She operates on the belief that everyone deserves the opportunity to reach their potential. And she works with organizations and leaders who want to make that happen. And Julie is, last time she was here, we were talking about her previous book. She's the author of Promotions Are So Yesterday, Redefine Career Development, Help Employees Thrive. And the book we're talking about today is, it was an instant classic when it came out 12 years ago. She's a co-author with Bev Kay, who's also been on the show in the past. International bestseller, 12 years, it's in its third edition now. So this is the third edition, just came out, and that's what we're talking about today. The book is Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go, Career Conversations Organizations Need and Employees Want. All right, Julie, that's all I can say, you know, or we're going to run out of time to actually talk about the content. So I am glad that you're here, though.
Thank you.
All right, so you've already been on the show, so I'm not going to ask you the same question that I asked you to introduce you last time about your earliest memory of yourself as a leader. So instead, I'd like to ask you, what is something that life is teaching you right now? And it doesn't even have to be leadership related, it could be anything. What is life teaching you right now? Or one thing?
Yeah. How much time do you have? I think the big lesson that I find myself learning over and over again is the value of gratitude, appreciating the moment, savoring the present, rather than anticipating and worrying about and being in some future reality that might or might not ever happen.
I love that. That is, I think I'm on that same learning curve. I can't say that I have fully learned it yet, but I'm definitely maybe making progress that direction. Such an important thing.
It's really important.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, in the early, or as I was starting the show, I mentioned that I believe that this act of investing in our people is arguably a leader's most important job. And I go back to early in my career, I read, I don't know if you've read this book, The World's Most Powerful Leadership Principle by James Hunter. And another, you know, classic book, but he said, it's the one sentence from that book that I have stuck with me all these years. He said that the ultimate test of your leadership is simply this: are your people better off when they leave than when they started with you? Whatever length of time they're with you, are they better off when they leave than when they started? And as I'm going through, help them grow or watch them go in its third edition now, that's, I kept coming back to that, that this is the roadmap. This is the how you do all of that is really what you're talking about with help them go. So chapter one, you say, develop me or I'm history. So let's start with the premise: help them grow, watch them go, or watch them go. What are we talking about? Why is this so critical?
You know, I mean, you've really nailed it. The essence of leadership is, are we helping make people better? Are we helping them to grow and to develop? And what we know from years and years of research, I mean, you know this from the work that you all do and the research that you all do, one of the primary reasons people give for leaving an organization, for staying in an organization, for joining an organization, is the opportunity for growth, or the lack thereof in some cases. And so the book at its core, you know, is saying, if we're not as leaders in a position to support people's growth, then we better be ready for the consequences associated with that. And that's the, you know, they're going to go, they're going to find someone who will invest in them, will respect them, will help them reach their goals and their aspirations. And we play with this notion of going, because I think at, on the surface, you know, we're talking about retention, which is so top of mind for leaders and organizations today, you know, actually physically keeping the talent that you need to be able to run the operation. But the other side of going is, we've got, you know, in recent years, we've heard the expression quiet quitting. And while the expression might be new, the phenomenon has been around forever, you know, where people quit, they withdraw their engagement and their talents and their contributions, but then they stick around, kind of poisoning the well, if you will. And so as leaders, you know, we got to step up to the reality that development is the most important, as you said, the most transformative, the most intimate way we connect with people. And there are significant consequences if we're not prepared to make that happen.
And, you know, and while you and I, obviously, we have, we're big believers, you don't have to convince either one of us, right? You've got all the research and that's our experience and so forth. And yet there is another point of view, maybe, or a couple different concerns that come up for leaders as we talk about this, which is it really such an important factor? Because, you know, through the lens of, gosh, my number one job is to get the job done. I've got results that I need to achieve. If I'm a business owner, I got to, why is it my job to grow or develop people, as opposed to, like, we've got this work to do and that's what I'm paying them to do? Why do I have to develop them? Or why do I, and we'll get into, do I actually have to develop them in a little while? But that kind of paradigm, how do you respond to that?
You know, leaders who want to deliver results need to really be looking at the role that development plays in that. To think that you can just, you know, crank out widgets without the growth and development of your folks, I mean, it's a short-sighted way of thinking about the work that we're doing. The research would suggest that 80% of people report that learning and development makes them feel more engaged with their work. And that engagement really unlocks a whole cascade of business related results. When people are engaged, they're going to attend to the customer better. They're going to sell more. They're going to service more effectively. They'll be more innovative. Quality will improve, and, you know, retention as well. And so this notion that somehow business results and growth are separate, it's wrongheaded. They are absolutely and inextricably connected. And when leaders are willing to and able to promote that kind of growth, they're going to see not just the growth of the people, but the growth of the business as well.
Yeah, it never has totally made sense to me either, people who think that way, because, yeah, if let's say I have the same 10 people next year that I have right now, if everybody has grown in some fashion, shouldn't we be better at doing what we're doing?
Exactly. And especially today, when the world is changing so dramatically, Industries are transforming. Processes are being turned on their head. If we're not helping people to grow, if we're not helping them look around the corner and lay the foundation of the skills that are going to be required for tomorrow, individuals will suffer, but organizations will as well.
Absolutely. It's the more the things are changing, the more growth required to stay on top of it all. So, Julie, I am curious another and you get into this in chapter six a little bit, where the chapter six is if not up, then what? And I think this is another important aspect of this, because it's another concern that people will have sometimes when they're thinking about, well, I've got folks who don't want to grow. And I don't really believe that. I think that kind of human beings are kind of wired for growth, and we're learning curious creatures, we are. But growth can look like a lot of different things for a lot of people. And maybe sometimes we're pigeonholing it and saying they don't want to grow. Well, that's not necessarily the case. It's just a different kind of growth. So I know that you are passionate and have done a ton of research around this. What do we do if we're looking at somebody and think, well, I'm not sure they want to grow?
The opportunity that we have right now, David, is to help employees redefine what growth looks like for them. In days gone by, we had kind of this easy definition of growth looks like climbing the corporate ladder, and it was tidy. It didn't necessarily work for everyone, and it wasn't necessarily interesting to everyone, but that was the paradigm that we had. And today, given that hierarchies are breaking down, mid-levels of management are sort of being delayered, work is getting done more organically, we can't continue to propagate that kind of a mental model. And so the opportunity actually is to expand the definition of career development and to work person by person to figure out what does that look like for you? Does it look like building some new skills? Does it look like expanding your network? Does it look like getting a little bit more confident in your ability to deliver the results or challenging yourself? And the list goes on. When we start to have conversations with individuals and we treat them as unique individuals, we can learn where those opportunities are for them and then tailor the experience of growth. Because you're right, folks may say, no, thanks. I'm fine. I'm fine right now. I don't need any of that growth stuff. But what they may be saying is, I don't want to be promoted. I don't want the extra stress of being a manager. I don't want to have to go to another facility. Maybe I don't want to attend a course. I don't know why, because we know how great they could be. But what do they want? And when we have those conversations, we're able to unlock that and deliver the employee experience that's going to drive the kind of engagement and results that leaders are looking for.
And it really does require, as a leader, for us to broaden our perspective, because we might have one or two or three things that, well, that's what growth means to me. But if we're limited to that, we're not going to see what it is. And so showing up to those conversations with genuine curiosity and, what do they want? It may not look like anything that you have wanted, but to be open to that and really hear it is a important leadership skill.
It is. And just that curiosity that you mentioned, the genuine listening and understanding where someone's coming from, employees crave that. That kind of attention and respect and investment. I mean, they know how precious a leader's time is. So investing time in them, it really sends a powerful signal that builds the kind of rapport and the psychological safety that's necessary then to enable the kind of growth that they might be interested in.
And you said every employee cries. I mean, every human being, right? That's just, it's one of those things we need as human beings, to be heard and seen and respect and listen and heard. And so the extent we can do that for one another, and we're talking about human-centered leadership on this show, and this is one of those elements where that comes into play. All right, our guest today, Julie Winkle Giuliani. The book is Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go: Career Conversations Organizations Need and Employees Want. And Julie, you just mentioned the time factor and how the people recognize how valuable, how limited a leader's time is. And that is another of the objections that frequently comes up when we're having these conversations is, okay, Julie, David, I hear you, I get it. And I just, with clients this morning and talking to leaders about career development conversations, and they're not lying when they say that their time is strapped. And some of them are trying to figure out how to not put in 12, 14 hour days. And just they're in a, you know, some, and that's not unusual for this particular client. And they also recognize, yes, it's important. I know it's important to invest in people. How do I do it when my time is so stretched?
Yeah, the struggle is real. This generation of managers is the most time starved of any we've ever seen. And so you can't argue with that. And if we continue to think about career development as a series of tasks, then time continues to be an issue. And those tasks get moved down, you know, the list because there are other squeakier wheels. I think that the opportunity for leaders today is to redefine what development looks like and think more in terms of a relationship. Because what I've really come to understand working in this space deeply for the last decade or more is that development is a relationship that plays out through conversation, but it doesn't have to play out through 1 hour, 2 hour conversations. You know, we have, a lot of us have sorted in our minds, career development, that's that once a year big thing with all the forms and, you know, all those shenanigans. And while that may be important to the organization and, you know, support manpower and succession planning and that kind of thing, that's not where the growth really happens. Where it happens and where the rapport and the relationship builds is in small conversations. You know, taking those envelopes of time when you're already going to be talking to people and just shifting that with a great question that drives toward development, that helps people reflect on what they're learning, what they're loving, what they want to do next, what they need, you know, to feel that level of engagement with the work that they're doing. And when we can just take the time we're already spending and elevate it with these small conversations that compound and layer one on top of the other over time, those actually don't take extra time, but they deliver extraordinarily disproportionately positive results in terms of understanding, respect, rapport, and the growth that people feel.
So what I hear you saying, Julie, is we're having interaction with our team members already in some fashion. It's about being intentional with those micro moments, those small engagements, and really thinking about how we're using them to compound, as you see, get that compounding effect of those small moments. But we're being intentional and asking certain questions and having certain conversations. Do I have that right?
You do. And I think the thing that allows us to do that is the curiosity, going back to what you mentioned before. You know, so frequently we think about curiosity as being a conversational thing, but we can be curious about the world around us and look for those cues, those small moments, those situations where somebody grimaces or is, you know, gives you the high five, and realize each of those moments, if we just are intentional, take a moment, choose the right question, could be a powerful additional layer in this, you know, sedimentary rock of career development that we build over time.
I, for some reason, I went to a layer cake and you went to rock, but we'll take it either way, you know, like, maybe I'm hungry. So that's a theme on this show every once in a while. It's about every fourth episode, I seem to get hungry and start the food metaphors. So, all right, so let's get into strategy. So we've been talking about this strategy of being intentional with the conversations that we're having. And in the book, one of the things that you and Bev share, 100 questions that you can use to start career conversations. And we're not going to go through all 100 of them, but I am curious if maybe there are a few favorites or a couple selected flavor examples of some of those questions.
Oh, you bet. You bet. In fact, running up to the launch of the book, I think I released my top 10 list. But I guess just before I share a couple of questions, philosophically, the reason for this focus is, as we talk to managers, so many of them were avoiding conversations or were tentative about conversations because they didn't have the answers. You yes. know, they didn't know what the right thing was. And we realized, gosh, you know, let's just shift this paradigm entirely. They don't have to have the answers. All they have to do is have the questions, bring the curiosity, and hold the space for the employee to sort this out. And so, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to hold the space on that topic for just a little bit longer because I do think you bring up such an important point. And so, like, if I don't have the answer and feeling that way, that's certainly an objection. And one of the big, I don't have the answer is, well, what if this person wants X role? What if they do want that promotion or they do want this lateral move and it's not there? I have no control over making that available or not. So, gosh, what do I do? And I definitely hear that reluctance to even go down the open the door to career conversation because I don't know if I can help them get there or not.
And that actually was the impetus because I heard that after coming out with Help Them Grow, doing training with managers, knowing they had the skills, there was still that, well, but what if they want a promotion? And that was the impetus for my second book, For Promotions Are So Yesterday, to give folks another way of thinking about that. But yeah, I mean, that is the reality. That may happen. My research actually suggests that people are way less interested in promotions than they are in a lot of other ways to grow that leaders can actually say yes to. But we'll save that for another conversation.
And even if they do want that promotion or they do want that move to a specific role, we can still help them get ready for it.
Exactly. And frequently, what we need to do is help them and help us understand what the motivation is for that so that we can satisfy that underlying need in the process of helping them get ready for that eventual thing. Asking what is it about that role that you're most excited about? What do you look forward to doing on day one? What will you be able to do there that you can't do here? And really helping people think that through, because for a lot of people, that next step is just the next step. I don't mean this in a negative, in a demeaning way, but it's kind of mindless. We've just been trained to keep going up.
Yeah, I want it because it's what I'm supposed to want, as opposed
Yes.
to actually questioning the motivation and helping tease that out. So I love that. We just got into an actual specific question. I want to make sure that we capture that one is what would that do for you? What would you be able to do that you're not able to do now? What would you do on day one? All of those versions of that to help tease out what the person actually wants there and are there different ways to go about it, or for them to even think consciously about it, maybe they haven't.
That is huge because I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with folks ask questions like that, and it's just deer in the headlights. They haven't really thought about it. And so you're doing the employee a service to help slow them down, step back a minute, and think about what that is. And if a leader and the individual understand what they really want to accomplish, 9 times out of 10, as a leader, you can help invite some of that experience into the envelope of the current role. And so we can create that level of satisfaction, do a kind of try before you buy almost in the current role, again, as we're preparing people. But at the core of those questions that I just threw out really quickly is, I think, my number one question. And it's a real shift because for most leaders, when you think about having a career conversation, the question that just instinctively comes out of your mouth is, where do you see yourself in 3, 5, 7 years? And we get people talking about specific roles that they want to be in. And the problem is, when we start doing that, we close down, we limit the conversation and the opportunities. And in today's world, where things are changing so fast, jobs are disappearing, new ones are prepared. I mean, 3, 5 years, who knows, whether those roles are even going to be available. And so the shift, the significant mindset shift that I invite leaders to engage in is to move from what do you want to be to what do you want to do? And when we start getting people talking about what they want to do, leaders can say yes to a lot of that stuff. We can get creative. We can figure out how to help people do that. Maybe we can't promise them that role, but we can help to co-create some development experiences that reflect those doing priorities.
Doing as opposed to a label, as opposed to a title, as opposed to those things which we don't have. The doing part is whatever is entailed in that. And that goes to the why you're asking, what are you going to be able to do there you can't do now? Well, we can get you doing some things right now.
Exactly.
All right. This is good. We just scratched the surface. That was what, one question with maybe three or four side questions.
Yeah.
Let's get another one. What's another of those of one of your favorite questions to help start career conversations?
Well, and remember, it's not necessarily to start the conversation, but to have another piece of that conversation that layers on. I think the other one that is right there at the top of my list is, and what did you learn from that? Because whether we're succeeding, struggling, failing, trying to figure stuff out, the opportunity, I mean, there's just learning. It's like the oxygen that's around us. We're breathing it all the time. We don't necessarily recognize that if we don't pause and think about it. Because, employees are as busy as leaders are. We're talking leaders are time starved. So are the employees. And
Everybody.
they're not necessarily sitting around thinking, how did I, grow and develop and learn over the last month, without some prompting and again creating a space for that to happen. So curious leaders will pick up on those cues again. Say, what did you learn from that? And really unpack the learning because, we talk about experience being a great teacher, and it is, but it's the reflection on that experience that translates the experience into to really to learning that can be layered in and actionable.
That is one of my favorite questions. What did you learn from that? And whether you're having a career development conversation, whether you're helping someone through their own problem solving, just creating that space, as you're saying, for reflection, you're creating space that maybe doesn't exist for that person and giving them that opportunity and to reflect on whatever it is they're reflecting about. And sometimes that's all it takes, isn't it? It's just a little bit of space and the person is off and running.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's exactly what it is. Sometimes we just need the invitation to think for a moment. And again, when we start processing those learnings over time as individuals, and we start recognizing, wow, that was a lot. That sense of momentum that I am learning and I am growing goes a long way in terms of keeping people learning and growing, but also in terms of their sentiment toward the manager and toward the organization, and the loyalty and the retention that follows with that.
Yeah, I just was talking with somebody. Was it yesterday? That's why I talked with a lot of people the last couple of days, but I think it was this morning. And she was saying, I said, basically, how are you doing? And she said, I'm really struggling in a lot of ways in my job. But I got to tell you, my manager is so there for me and invested in me and supportive and empowering and cares. And she is the reason I'm here. Like, and it was just such a powerful statement about everything that you just said in a really practical way.
It's a game changer when you've got a boss that you can count on to be there to support you, to have your back. I mean, that gives people a lot of space to grow.
Yeah, that's what we always say, the end of every show, be the leader you want your boss to be. But that's not the end of this show. We've got more to go. So our guest today, Julie Winkle Giuliani, the book is in its third edition, Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go, Career Conversations Organizations Need and Employees Want. And so and Julie has not seen this yet, but I did leave a review on the online for the book. And one
Thank
of my,
you.
you're very welcome. One of my remarks in that is that this should be required reading for anyone who wants to be a manager, leader, supervisor. If you don't have any responsibility for people, I do think this is that critical. So you're listening to this show, there it is. You don't hear me say you have to read this book. A lot of them I recommend, but this one I'm saying this is a must read. You got to check this out. So Julie, one of the topics and one of the in the third edition here, newly revised, just out, hot off the presses, is developing at a distance. So chapter 10, you talk about, and I think this is relevant for so many people, how on earth do we do and support career? I mean, you've already laid the groundwork for some of the answers here, but how do we do career development, professional support, it remote, hybrid, all of these different kinds of scenarios that leaders are facing now in new ways, than they ever did pre-pandemic.
This was the most significant change that we made to the book, adding this chapter, because a few things have changed in our world over the last 5 years since the second edition came out. Before in our second edition timeframe, we certainly had people who were working hybrid and remote. But as a result of the pandemic, of course, there's a critical mass then of folks who found themselves in that position. And managers who were already struggling in many cases to develop people who were co-located, suddenly they get this next layer of challenge. Now we're scattered to the wind, and I'm supposed to develop them. You overlay the proximity bias, which, is just that natural human tendency to gravitate toward, to remember, to interact with those who are close by, who, you're co-located with. And it really, we're seeing the effects of that in terms of fewer opportunities, promotions, even pay differential for those who don't find themselves, going into an office on a regular basis. So we knew that we needed to take this on. And Bev, my co-author, and I actually interviewed about 25 folks, authors, thought leaders, practitioners who were doing this well, to say, what's the secret sauce? What are the, 3 to 5 key actions and steps and strategies to use? Because we wanted those concrete ideas. And to a person, we basically heard no secret sauce. What it boils down to is doing everything you need to do with people who are together and doing it with greater intention. That word that you used earlier, David. You need to bring greater purpose, a more deliberate mindset, and intention to all of that. And so what we did was to look at that and figure out what are the concrete actions that a leader who is not co-located can do to interrupt the proximity bias and really level the playing field so that no matter where someone works, they have a comparable experience and opportunity for growth.
And what would a strategy, what would be some, if we get really practical on that, how do you practically, what recommendations do you have to interrupt that proximity bias and be intentional about those things?
Yeah, I mean, a really simple, like silly simple solution is to create a roster of all of your team members and make a tick mark every time you interact with one. And pretty soon, after a course of a handful of days or a week, you're going to have a vivid snapshot of your mindset and your interactions. And so seeing, oh gosh, I really am giving a lot more attention to those I'm seeing on a regular basis is the first step toward recognizing the bias that unintended, just it's just who we are and how we're wired, recognizing and being able to interrupt that. And then the mechanics associated with going forward are intentionally finding ways to add tick marks to those people who don't have quite as many there. So being more deliberate about reaching out, engaging, remembering that, so frequently there's like a great opportunity, a task or a project or an assignment that's like really meaty and cool and has all sorts of visibility or growth opportunities. And it's just so natural. You're walking down the hall, we pass, I see David. It's like, oh, okay, Dave, you want to do that? And then everybody I don't see doesn't have that opportunity. So remembering, gunny sacking all of those great opportunities until you can be more thoughtful about, all right, yep, that one might be great for David, but it also could be great for all of these other people who are not here at the home office.
I'm loaded up anyway, Julie. I don't have time for
All right, fair enough.
that.
I'll find somebody else then. I just knew I could trust you with it.
I know, but yeah, I appreciate the offer. The when you're talking about silly, easy to implement, that having that roster and tick box system, there are so many applications for that. I'm constantly recommending that strategy to folks. And it could be just connecting with your team members, like, and how are you connecting? And maybe they're all remote, but who are you interacting with regularly versus those you're not? And equalizing that, whether it's the investing conversations like we're talking about here, whether it's the, you know, just how often you're hearing from them, inbound versus outbound. Like, there's so many different ways to apply that. And, you know, before we can be intentional, we have to be aware. So all you're doing is cultivating your own awareness and taking it from whatever my guesswork is. But there's all kinds of proximity, I mean, all kinds of biases we have. Another one, top performers. Top performers get ignored because they're not a problem, so I don't talk to them. Well, oh gosh, I've got top performers I haven't talked to in a week. I need to get on that, you know? So there's just so many ways that that can help you as a leader. It's so practical, but also so beneficial.
Yeah, no excuse not to do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of somebody I coached years and years ago who very, very adept at their job, an accountant. Is a senior controller for a large foundation, university foundation, and the CEO said basically this guy needs to get better at human connection. He's really, really adept, but if he wants to go to where he wants to go career-wise, he needs to get better at human connection. So we talked a little bit, very, very task-focused guy, and he said, you know what? What if I did a spreadsheet? I said, if tasks are your strength, go for it. Make a spreadsheet. And he did. He made a spreadsheet of everybody that he could possibly interact with, colleagues, peers, team members, CEO, everybody. And as he would do an interaction, he'd jot down a note and talk to him a couple months later. He says, "Dave, this is amazing. It has changed my life." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "You know, I talked to somebody and I asked them a question. I found out they're kids at the Air Force Academy. So I wrote that down in my spreadsheet." And he said, and then a month later, I'm talking to him. I said, "Hey, how's your kid doing at the Air Force Academy?" And you would have thought that I was a politician. He was so happy at my question. He just, you know, go. And I was laughing because what do you think doctors and dentists do? They have a list of all their patients and they're just recording that information.
And it makes such a difference in terms of that connection, right?
Yeah.
You know, it builds those relationships that are required for work to get done and for growth to happen, for people to feel safe and supported.
And so you jot down, and again, if this comes naturally to you, you maybe carry it in your head and you just kind of have that, but still recommend the spreadsheet or at least the checklist, because it creates that awareness, helps you avoid thinking you're getting everybody and thinking that you really know where everybody wants to be and what they're interested in, what they want. Yeah. We're not leaving it to chance.
Well, and I think the spreadsheet idea, you know, the idea of documenting in a really simple form, you know, this is not an extra process to add, but yeah. Documenting these conversations, highlights from the conversation are really important, because so frequently employees report this Groundhog Day sort of experience where every time it's like a new world, you know, okay, so what do you want to do now? What do you want to, and if we can take as leaders the thread of, okay, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about being really excited about doing this. And then last time we talked, you started, you know, sharing a little bit of struggle with this particular task. How is that going? And how do we move that forward? What might that mean in terms of a growth goal for you? I mean, when a leader remembers, however they do it, that kind of stuff, that is really powerful in terms of advancing the employee's thinking as well.
Yeah, builds your trust, builds credibility, builds so many different aspects of your leadership. So Julie, I got one last question for you before we do. This book has so many different practical strategies, questions. I mean, it's the kind of book, if you really will take just a couple of key takeaways that are the ones that are most relevant for you, you're going to be making a difference with your employees. So where can people find out more, connect with you, get the book, additional resources? Where should we go?
The book is available at all of your fine booksellers. More information about the book can be found at help-them-grow.com and at my website, juliewinklegiulioni.com. And we also, on the Help Them Grow site, you'll have more information. One of the things that we built to go along with this book was a book bot that's trained in the content of the book and that is a great coaching tool, helping you create conversational plans, practice having a career conversation and get feedback, assess your skills. And so there's information about that on the website as well.
which is such a great resource, and it's mentioned in the book as well. So it's a great resource, and I love that practice aspect of it. Of, yeah, maybe I am feeling uncomfortable. What do I do if they say, okay, no more excuses? You've got a resource to be able to do exactly
that. Yeah, that's right.
All right. So one last conversation that often comes up as we're talking to leaders about helping people grow and so forth is, when a leader encounters, this is a challenging conversation, leader encounters somebody who says, yes, I want to grow and I want to do this and I want to all these things, and they're really not getting it done in their core job, and they have all these aspirations, but they're just not getting it done. Can happen for many different reasons. How do you recommend leaders engage in those conversations?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that can be a really dicey interaction with folks who have aspirations that maybe aren't quite ready to be realized because of whatever the performance gaps are. And that's where the relationship and the trust becomes so important. As a leader, we owe it to people to be giving them feedback on a regular basis. And so in an ideal world, that person would be maybe titrating the aspirations and goals based upon ongoing feedback, so that they would know, oh gosh, I'm not quite up to snuff here. I need to be working on this. I need to hit these kinds of milestones before I'd be ready. But if you get to the point where, you know, you haven't had those conversations and suddenly the aspirations and the goals appear, then as a leader, the opportunity really is to help the person step back and look at how their current behavior or performance meshes with what those expectations are or aspirations are. So talking about that delta in a supportive way, saying, I really hear that and I can see you in that role. And what I'm seeing now in terms of your performance or your behavior is out of sync with that. You can actually, when it's positioned properly, you can use that as a really motivating way to help people understand the so what associated with making a performance or a behavior-based change. Because suddenly it's not just about, you know, doing the job. Suddenly it's about, okay, now I've got to, like your coaching client from way back when, I've got to elevate my connection with others and the way I communicate, not just to get the job done, but so that I can move into this role, do whatever it might be. So positioning that as the opportunity and the so what, I think is a really strong strategy for leaders who want to bridge that gap.
Yeah, it's and part of what I'm hearing you say, leverage their desire. Don't squash the desire. It's leverage it.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's interesting. I've talked to, just recently, I was talking to a leader who said, well, you know, I don't want, he's never going to get there. And I don't want him to be disappointed. And it really broke my heart. It was a real candid conversation. Who are any of us to deem what's possible for anyone else? I'm sure not going to put a lid on anybody.
There's a previous guest on the show, a motivational speaker. He's a Paralympic silver medalist and had his leg amputated in an accident. And he said, you know, so often when people have those limitations, they're expressing their limitations as opposed to, they're not me, they don't know, but they can't see themselves doing it if they were me. So then they just put that limitation. It's like, and we do that to one another. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Love that. John Register, I meant to say, give credit for the source there. Julie, thank you so much. We have gotten so many different practical tools we can use to help them grow and not watch them go. And we've just scratched the surface. Again, listener, if you've enjoyed the conversation, please check out this book. It is, I don't say anything's a must read for a reason, but this one really is. It's that vital. And, you know, get started right away, even before your book arrives. You can start asking tomorrow, literally as soon as you, you know, I don't know, I was going to say hang up the phone. You're not on your phone. Maybe you're listening on your phone. As soon as you hit stop on your podcast, you can go ask your folks, hey, what do you want to do? What does interest you? What does that do for you? What, you know, what would that do that you're not able to do now? Okay, let's talk about that. Let's look at those opportunities. As people are doing, what'd you learn from that? Just as you start, you can do that right now. It doesn't take anything extra. It's the 5-minute conversation you've already got that Julie's given you. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. All right. Julie, I'm going to give you the last word before I wrap up the show. Last thing you want people to know about helping their team members to grow.
Thank you, David, for a great conversation and the opportunity to be on your show again. And I think the final word really is, you know, at the end of the day, if we want to grow our business, you know, kind of going back to how we started, it really boils down to growing our people. And we do that one conversation at a time over time, without the need to have the answers, but just to have those great questions and bring the curiosity and the intention to support the development of others.
Fantastic. Julie Winkle Giuliani, the book is Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go, third edition. And listeners, make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. I don't want you to miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. And certainly, if you help them grow so you don't watch them go, you'll be the leader you want your boss to be. See you next time.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.